his job. We try to save as many people as we can. Sometimes that doesn't mean everybody. But you don't give up.
New York. Washington, D.C. Sokovia.
Okay, that's enough.
Captain, people are afraid.
That's why I'm here. We need to be put in check. Whatever form that takes, I'm game.
I'm sorry, Tony. If I see a situation pointed south, I can't ignore it. Sometimes I wish I could.
Sometimes I want to punch you in your perfect teeth.
I know we're not perfect. But the safest hands are still our own.
To wash their back.
This doesn't have to end in a fight, Tony.
You just started a war. Stay down. Final warning.
I could do this all day.
All right, I've run out of patience. On to Ruse!
Hey, everyone.
Like about that. That is awesome, right? I mean, the action, the scenes, the drama, everything that that movie brings, there's something in it for everyone. So good morning. Welcome to Crosspoint this morning. I am so excited and honored to be here with you today, especially with today being Father's Day. So happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all those dads out there, those father figures, role models. I have the greatest amount of respect for what it means to be a father. It's a great responsibility. You're a coach, you're a mentor, you're a teacher, and most importantly, you're a leader. You know, one of the things that I talk about and I spend a lot of time thinking about is leadership and what leadership means, both in corporate America, but mostly what it means in our community and in our homes. And when I think about leadership, I think about two qualities that really define what it means to be a leader. The first is the ability to connect with others and build into others. It's such an important and key element. The second thing that I think about that really separates those great leaders is a great leader is defined as someone that can get a person to a place they couldn't get to on their own. So it's a great responsibility to be a dad. It's a great day. I know there's a lot of places that you could be this morning, and I'm just thrilled that you're here spending just a few minutes to kind of look and to see what it is that pulls the fiber from this movie that really resonates and draws us home. If you haven't figured out by now that I am not Kurt Walters, I'm not Kurt Walters. Now, if you're sitting in the front row, I just promise you that like in the first service, probably a few little spit things came out, so at least make you feel a little bit at home. But my name is Vince Constantine, and I was honored when Kurt asked me to speak again this year on Father's Day. I was here last year and had a great experience, was part of the Super Bowl piece, and had a lot of fun doing that. And I'm really honored and humbled to be part of this worship service this morning. It means a lot to me. You know, as Kurt and I talked about being prepared, now if you don't know Kurt, I know I'm going to blow your minds here for a second. He is a planner. I don't know if you knew that. But Kurt is a planner. Like, he's probably had this Sunday planned out 10 months ago. And I mean that sincerely. So he probably had in his mind what he wanted to do for this movie. And as he and I met, one of the things that we talked about is really kind of what it means to really kind of pull a fiber of faith. There are so many great storylines in the movies this summer. So I was excited to hear what Kurt had planned for us. So as I sat down to lunch, Kurt's going through this, and you know Kurt, he's getting excited. He's kind of a little bit like me, right? Getting a little fired up about the subject, and he pushes the movie in front of me. He says, man, I really want you to talk about this. You know what the movie was called? It's called Me Before You. Has anybody seen that? You know what I'm talking about? It's this really sappy, excuse me, no disrespect, chick flick. And I'm like, dude, I can't do that. That's not my fiber. You know, Kurt, he's emotional, he's sensitive. And so he really was like, man, I really think you should do this. I'm like, brother, I can't. I'm going to be honest with you. That's not in my wheelhouse. So here's what we're going to do, Kurt. We're going to do Captain America. And of course, if you know Kurt, he's like, not so sure about the superhero thing. I said, man, I said, there are so many fibers of faith in this movie. Just trust me. So just trust me here this morning. There are some great takeaways. And in fact, all the movies that we're talking about this summer have these amazing fibers of faith built within them. So it's so exciting, and I'm so excited to be here this morning to discuss this with you. So as you watch this movie, Captain America, and I told Kurt this, I said, man, listen, there's all sorts of stuff in here that everybody loves. There's a connect for everyone. First of all, there's suspense in the movie. There's some drama for those of you that like drama in movies. There's some humor. Kurt, is there even a little bit of some like awkward romance in the movie for you that is sappy? But the best part of the movie is the action of this movie and some of the lines that come through this. In fact, there's the one scene in this movie, and the special effects are amazing. There's this car chase through this tunnel, and all of a sudden, there's a motorcycle that gets in the way, and the motorcycle gets kicked out, and it's flying in the air, and the Winter Soldier goes, and I know I'm going to Nerdville, but you got to stay with me. He goes, and he catches the motorcycle in midair. The thing's going 100 miles an hour, and he whips it on the ground, and he gets on it, and he rides it. And I look over at my two sons, and they're like, that was awesome. And I said, yes, it was. And in my mind, that really happened. But if I ever see you boys try that, I'm telling you, you're going to have a very dear price to pay. So it's exciting and it's so invigorating. But you know what it is that draws us to these movies? It's the larger-than-life heroes. Every movie has some hero in it. And what is it about these movies that draws us to it? What is it that draws us to that hero? And this is what I believe the connect is for us in these movies. Is that all of these movies have a quality that we all aspire to. All of these heroes have something about them in their fiber and in their being that we aspire to. Now look, for most of us, we think about what it means to have strength. And as you look at these superheroes, there's an element of strength. Now that strength sometimes presents itself physically, but there's emotional strength, spiritual strength. And what we're going to focus on here today is a little nugget about what it means to live with purpose. What it means to live with purpose. And within that purpose, what it means to have strength in that purpose. You see, there's a great sequence that we see played out in this movie, Captain America: Civil War, where Captain America is at a crossroads. You see, everyone on his team wants him to conform with a new way of thinking, to be under a different rule, to be under a different set of rules determined by a circumstance. But here's the thing. Captain America can't do this. He can't conform to this because it goes against what his purpose is, what he's called to do, what he's driven to do. And there's a great sequence, and we see it played out in the trailer, and there's this line where, and once again, I'm back to Nerdville here for a second, right? Tony Stark is also Iron Man when he's in costume. So he's having this conversation with Tony Stark, Steve Rogers, who's also Captain America. And he says to Captain America, he says, man, you got to conform to this. And Captain America says, you know what, man, I can't. When I see a situation headed south, I got to run to it. I can't run away. And you know, there's something to be said for that, because what does that mean? That means in any situation that Captain America has a firm understanding that these superheroes, that these heroes that are built through strength, have a firm understanding of what their purpose is, what it means to have purpose, and what it means to live within that. Now listen, I understand this, right? This is self-therapy for me, by the way, because this is a subject that I really struggle with, right? What does it mean to have purpose? And you know what? I realize I'm not the only one. I realize there's probably a lot of us in here that struggle with this. So as I started to do some research for this, I started to go online like any good human being would do, right? And I started to search, and I put in the search engine, I put in purpose, purpose living, purposeful life. And man, I got millions of responses back, and I'm like, man, dude, what do I do with all of this? I don't know how to pull some of this apart. It goes in a variety of different twists and turns. So I kind of was struggling mentally with how to put that all together. And I looked in the top of the toolbar and it said trends. So I clicked on it. So it takes you to this site, Google Trends, and it's all these analytics, which I really, really love, but all these analytics of when you put in a search term, how many times it's been searched for, how many things come from that. It takes you to different links and tells you all about that phrase or that word, and it puts it in a graphical format. So I'm like, what the heck? So I decided to type in purpose, purpose living, purposeful life. And what came back was the first thing was this graph. And this graph was really amazing. On the left-hand side of the graph, it showed the number of times it's been searched for, up into the millions. And on the bottom was the timeline, and it was month, year. And what was amazing is you saw these up and downs, and it wasn't this kind of rolling thing. It had some big spikes and some big drops. And I thought, man, that's pretty interesting. So I just took my cursor, and I just started putting it over the timeline. And so I went to the first high peak that I saw because I thought, man, this is kind of interesting. Why is it searched for more at this time, this phrase, than at some of these other times throughout the year? So the first one I clicked on was December 2012. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of weird. What happened to December 2012? So I opened up another tab. And in that tab, I typed in what happened to December 2012? And that was the brutal attack at Sandy Hook Elementary School. I thought for a moment, wow. I drew a lot of people to kind of think at that moment. I remember that specifically, remember where I was. I've got kids in elementary school. So I kind of went along, and the second thing I clicked on was April of 2013, and I'm like, I know what happened in April of 2013, but I Googled it nonetheless, and April 2013 was the bombings at the Boston Marathon. And that one hit home for me. I'd been there 2 years before with my wife when Christine ran the marathon, and we were in that place. And I thought to myself, wow, that would kind of drive you to search for what it means to have purpose, purpose living, purposeful life. Then the next one I went to showed this really weird trend throughout several months. And I thought, man, what is that? And it was 2014, and it was a series of about 3 or 4 months. And I clicked and I said, well, what happened in that time frame? That was the Ebola virus breakout, really, where everyone kind of thought that civilization, that this may be the beginning of the end for some civilizations in some third world countries. And that would drive people to search for that. Then the one that really kind of hit home and really got me is I went to the far right. It was November 2015, and the spike was higher than any other. It was twice as high as any of the others. And I remember what happened November 2015, and that was the terrorist bombings in Paris. And I didn't dare do it this past week because I'm sure we would have seen the exact same thing with the events that happened in Orlando. And I thought to myself, man, this is crazy. And it got me to thinking, why is it that we wait for something tragic to happen before we examine what it is that God wants us to do? Why do we wait for something bad or significant to happen before we reach out to figure out what God wants us to do? You see, when things are going great, we give God the Heisman, right? We kind of put him aside and say, man, I got this. I'm in control. Things are going easy right now, all because of me. And then when bad things happen, then they don't have to be tragic events. They can be bad things that happen in your life, things that have a significant or profound effect, maybe a job you didn't get, a promotion that you thought you deserved, or finances that didn't go right, a relationship that you thought was going in one direction and it went completely south. But why is it that we wait for that moment to reach out to God? And you know what, folks? I got to be honest with you. I don't have all the answers. I'm not a theologian. I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is the answer to life or life history or life story. But what I can share with you is some of the things that have happened in my life, some of the fibers that have been woven from within, taking a look at this movie and talking about what it means to have strength and purpose. And hopefully today there's a few nuggets that you can take away from what it is that we'll discuss that you might be able to implement in your own life or to connect with others or to help someone else get to a place they can't get to on their own. So as we move forward, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what it means to come together as a community. We're thankful for the opportunity to hear your voice in so many different ways than we could ever possibly imagine. Thank you for this space, for this moment, for everyone in this room. Lord, we're thankful for the minds that you've given us to think with, the ability to speak, and hearts that feel. And Lord, as we move forward from today and take away what it means to have strength and purpose, let us come away with a very firm understanding that instead of focusing on the things that make us different, for us to focus on the things that bring us together. In your name we pray. Amen. So in 1977, I had a very tragic accident, or very tragic, I don't say accident, but a very tragic event happened in my life. Let me set the stage for you here a little bit. In 1977, I was a very young boy growing up in upstate New York. And I know that my kids are going to hang on this right now because they're going to think this is the tragic event, but it's not. But in 1977, we only had one TV in our house, just one. Now, that would be a little tragic for a lot of us, but we had one TV in our house. The second event, which is not tragic, but a lot of young people might think it is, we had four TV stations. That was it. We didn't have ESPN. We had four. Actually, we had three because PBS didn't count, right? PBS, that doesn't count. If you like PBS, I'm sorry. Not my thing. So we had NBC, ABC, and CBS. So in the summer of 1977, I had these great plans. I was going to get up every morning in that summer once we weren't in school. I was going to ride my bike all day, play with all my friends, and then I was going to come home at night and watch TV because that's what you did. Man, I had it all planned out. Little aside here, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. I heard that a couple weeks ago, and it's so appropriate. So I had this all planned out, and then the tragic event happened. The one TV we had pooped out. It was gone. It didn't work. Now, not like today where you would head down to the Walmart and buy a new TV. That's not what happened in 1977. In fact, if you knew my father, he probably tried to go and fix this on his own and maybe made it worse. I don't know that detail. But we had to get the TV fixed. Now, back in 1977, I know here's another big drop of knowledge I'm going to put on you, but they had these things called TV repair shops. And you took the TV there and they got it fixed. So here's what happened. We walk in there. I remember being with my dad. And they put the TV down. The guy says, good news is I can fix it. Awesome. What's the bad news? Bad news is it's going to take 3, maybe 4 weeks. I was devastated. At that point in my life, I reached out to God. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I had these great plans, what I was going to do all summer, and you're killing me. Of course, I didn't say that to my father, because if you knew my dad, those would have brought on some extenuating circumstances I probably wasn't adequately equipped to handle at that young stage in my life. So I remember getting home, and I was just down in the mouth, and what am I going to do? And my father, I hear him, he's sick of looking at me, by the way, at this point, because I'm all depressed. He goes in the closet, I hear him rummaging around, and the next thing I know, he brings out this box, and he drops it at my feet. My father was a big man this way, not this way. So he drops it at my feet. Now, my inside voice said, you got to be kidding me. My outside voice, which a lot of you call filter, said, oh, thank you, Father, and I'll just look at it. So he leaves the room, and I look at this box, and all it has in it is books. I'm like, come on, dude, it's summer. I'm not reading. So I flip through it, and I'm not reading these books. And then I came across something, and it looked like a magazine. And I pulled it out, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. It was a comic book. And on the cover of the comic book was Captain America. And here's this dude with these big muscles and the shield and the motorcycle, and he's kicking guys in the head. And I'm like, yeah, this is for me. A lot of pictures, few words. That was a good book for me. That's why I'm drawn to Sports Illustrated. So I'm like, I can do this. I can do this as a young boy. And you know what's crazy? Man, I loved it. I was hooked. And I don't know what it was that I was hooked on at the time, right? Maybe it was the fact that, you know, if you knew kind of the order that Captain America came to be, Steve Rogers was this scrawny kid and he got the tar beat out of him every day. He got bullied. He got beat up. And I wasn't the skinny kid. I was on the other end of the spectrum. But I certainly had my fair share of being bullied and beaten up. And so I'm thinking, man, I can resonate with that a little bit. Or maybe it was the fact that he tried hard without giving up. And I thought that might be a good quality for me to institute in my life. Maybe I should try a little bit harder. 7 years old, I should probably get after it, right? So I had that concept. Or maybe it was just the cool motorcycle, the shield, the uniform, and the big muscles. Because that's what every kid wants. But I don't know what it was that got me hooked. But when these movies come out, man, I circle it on the calendar. I tell the kids, we're going to go see this because I love it. And why is it? Why is it that that resonates so much with me? And I realize something. I realize the thing that I love most about the character of these superheroes is they know exactly what they're supposed to do, especially when times get really, really tough. And so one of the things that I came away with is that oftentimes the right thing to do is not the easiest thing to do. In fact, most times the right thing to do is the hardest thing to do. And it takes us time to be able to pull through that and see what that is. And you know, here's the crazy part. And a lot of us don't do this today, but we allow our past experiences to define us. And you see, superheroes don't do that. They allow their past experiences to develop them. So we're not defined, but we're developed. And it becomes the blueprint for our purpose. It's the blueprint for the purpose through these superheroes in all of these superhero movies. On my desk, or in my office rather, are three scriptures. Two of them are up on my whiteboard, and one of them sits squarely on my desk in a picture frame. And I want to share those with you here this morning because they are so appropriate to the fiber that we're pulling together here today. The first one is from Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It's up on the screen. It's in the Bible app. It says this. It says, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." And I underline three words there. The word works, good, and purpose. Works is an interesting word. Works means that something or someone is active. God is active in your life. He's working within your life. But here's the other side of that coin. He wants you to be active. It takes absolutely zero activity or work to sit on your can and do nothing. But if you want God in your life, he wants you to be active. In fact, I'm even going to take a guess that he wants you to participate actively in your own rescue. Instead of sitting there and wallowing in your own self-pity, get out, get active, and participate in your own rescue. Because here's the good news. This good purpose that he talks about is this. Whenever we run after what it is and we align ourselves with what God wants us to do, he will develop and change us in ways that we can't even begin to imagine. And that has a profound effect. It has a profound effect in our church community, in our community in general, in our schools. But most importantly, it has an effect at home. With those faces that you see around that kitchen table. I call it kitchen table leadership. And what that looks like. And it's a small part of the world, but if each of us kind of build that out, we build an unbelievable community of believers who are strong, that we allow them to get to a place they couldn't get to on their own. You know, this whole idea of purpose and purpose-driven life is not new. Like I said, you can Google search this and you can look at that timeline. But you can also look at this historically. About 10 years ago, a book was written. Probably many of you have read it. A lot of you have seen it. It was called Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Sold over 30 million copies, 98 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list. It was a rock star. Now, there's two quotes from this book, right? This book kind of goes through 40 days, and its subtitle is What Am I on Earth For? And it goes through these five phases to help you figure out the direction that Christ is calling you. It doesn't give you your purpose at the end. That's kind of what I thought it was going to do. Like, I flipped to the end and said, dude, what am I supposed to do? I got to the end of the book. I'm like, I probably should read the other 40 pages or the other 40 days. But it gives us direction on where we're to go. And there's two quotes that I love in the book. And the first one was one I specifically remember because it's very early on in the book. And the reason I remember it is because if in the first three or four pages of a book I'm not caught, probably not reading it, right? I think we want to be caught. Our attention wants to be grabbed. We're emotional and we want to be grabbed right off the bat. And I remember this because it was so profound, this quote. It said this, "The first thing that you have to understand is that it's not about you." Not about you, me. It's about something bigger. It's not about us. But yet so many times we beat ourselves up because we think about, oh, woe is me. This didn't happen to me, or this did happen to me. I didn't make this sports team, or I wasn't the captain of whatever, and I didn't get this opportunity. My finances didn't work, this relationship. Me, me, me. Now listen, here's the God's honest truth. Nobody in their right mind is going to take a difficult situation, get kicked in the teeth, and get up and be smiling the whole time, right? That's not how life works. It's oftentimes difficult to see the sunshine when it's cloudy out. But so many times we spend thinking about us instead of what it is that God wants us to do, or more importantly, through those circumstances, what God wants us to learn in those situations. You know, the second thing that I thought about when I was looking through this, and I was thinking about this book, I remembered kind of the pathway that this book took you through, and it was kind of some of the ups and downs of your life, and kind of looking what it meant that you're not an accident, you're here on purpose. And this quote, I took it and I paraphrased it a little bit because I wanted to make it more appropriate for what we do with here in our lives today. But it said this, it says, "Your greatest life message and your most effective ministry will come out of all of your life experiences." In the book, it says, out of your difficult life experiences. But I believe that everything that happens to you happens because Christ is working within you to fulfill a good purpose. He's working. He's active in your life. We have to understand that there's ups and downs in life. That's just how it works. But I love this. And here's the thing with this, and I want to be very clear. Ministry in this context doesn't mean standing up here and pontificating on a Sunday. That's not what it means. It means sharing your experiences to connect, build into others, and help them get to a place they can't get to. And as a parent, this is so vitally important to understand what that means. All of our life experiences. We have all experienced some sort of pain, some sort of loss, some sort of experience in our life that we at the time didn't understand. Maybe we don't understand today, but we're not defined by our past experiences, but we're developed because of them. And think about it in this context as a parent. Christine and I talk about this, not all the time, but sometimes we make this relative connection. But our parenting style probably rolls to this a little bit. And something I want to leave you with, and I spoke about this a little bit last year, and we have this saying, it's called prepare the child for the path, not the path for the child. We all have experiences in our life that things didn't go the way that we wanted them to. Now, we could see this coming and try to remove the roadblock from others' lives. We could see that, man, this person's headed down this pathway, and I'm going to kind of help to alleviate that. Our greatest message is to share our experience, but to understand that you can't make round every corner. You can't get to every up and down. We understand that. But as we connect and build into others, and as we prepare those in our community for the path moving forward, and you don't have to be a child. You don't have to have children to understand this concept, the concept of building into others and helping them get to a place they couldn't get to on their own. And what does that look like? How does that play out? That plays out having a very strong faith and strength in what it means to have purpose. I'm reminded the second verse that's in my office on my whiteboard, I think is very appropriate in this setting, is Romans 8, chapter 28. It says this, we know that God works, there's that word again, all things together for good, for the ones that love God and for those that are called according to his purpose. There it is again, works and purpose. And I want to focus on two other things here that I thought about as I prepared for this morning. It says all things. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say only the things you're comfortable with or your crappy experiences or anything. It says all things. That the good news here is that Christ is involved in all things. And he can pull all things together for good for those who love him. Now, I want to explain something. I realize we just came out of this love dare piece, right? So I don't want to get all soft and sentimental on you, okay? I promise you I'm not going to do that. But I want you to think about something. When you love someone, you put that other person first. And this gets back to the quote, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about something bigger, something better, someone else. Don't put yourself first. For if you love someone, you don't put yourself first. You put that person first. When you love God, you put him first, and it's a sacrifice, and there's a lot of things to that. But for those that love God, and he takes all things together for good, for his purpose. And it's an amazing thing to think about what that looks like and how that plays out in our life in this strength and purpose. When I was in fourth grade, I would have rather gotten up in front of the class and told a story or done this in my underwear than to write a book report. Okay, a book report put a lot of anxiety on me because that was taking all the thoughts in my little brain and putting them out on paper. So I remember Mrs. Finley said, we got a book report due, and so I said, I'm not really sure what to write on. And she said, you know what? I'm going to hand you this book. I think this might be appropriate for you. I remember she handed me this book, and it was this book on this gentleman named Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali. I knew who he was. I'd seen him fight. I really loved a lot of things about him. I loved his moxie, the way he carried himself. I kind of thought, man, I wish I kind of had that. I wish I had that strength. But as I read that book, and I remember it vividly, it talked about the things that he stood up for, the things that meant the most in his life. Fighting was a very small part of it, being a championship boxer. But all the great things that he did outside of that were his purpose and what it looked like to live a man of purpose. Because you see, it's not what other people said to him or conforming or any of that stuff. It was standing up for what he believed in, living according to his purpose. And you know, here's the crazy thing. And you don't have to agree with what he did. You don't have to agree with his role in the Vietnam War, any of that stuff. But if you look at the total body of work of his life, Man, he lived according to his purpose when it wasn't the easiest thing to do. It was the right thing for him to do, but it wasn't the easiest thing to do. It cost him relationships. It cost him financially. It cost him as far as his career was concerned. And how many professional athletes today would take that stand, to stand up for what they feel is right and cast aside career, finances, and maybe even relationships? This is the picture of a great man that understood what it meant to have strength in his purpose and to live that out in his life. You know, when I think about a championship boxer and what it really defines to be a championship fighter, it's this. Championship fighters are not defined by the number of times they don't get knocked down. They're not defined by the number of times they don't get knocked down. Championship fighters are defined by the number of times they do get knocked down and the number of times they get back up and keep fighting. That's what strength looks like. It's not about the times you get knocked down. It's about the times that you get back up and plow forward. And that's where the good news is. And this is the third verse, and it sits smack in the middle on my desk, and I see it every day I sit down at my desk for this very reason. Because it says this. It's Philippians 4, verse 13. It says this. I can do all things, through him who strengthens and gives me strength. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And there is power in that. What you have to understand is the context within that, because the verses before that, Paul is speaking and he says and he tells of all of these times he's been knocked down, he's been kicked in the teeth, he's been persecuted, starved to death, thrown out of places. But he picked himself up because he's a champion. And he kept moving forward because he realized that there's strength within all of this, because he can do all things through him who gives him strength. So as we move forward here this morning and we think this all the way through, I want you to think about something, right? It's not about us. Oftentimes we get caught up in that. We get caught up in thinking about ourselves instead of thinking what it is that God's trying to teach us in this moment. As I prepared for this week and I read through a whole bunch of stuff with respect to Muhammad Ali, I saw this really good quote and I loved it. And it says, "Don't count the days, make the days count." And let me give you a little context to that, because when that quote came about, was about 3 or 4 years after he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. See, back in 1984, we really didn't know what it meant to have Parkinson's disease. We didn't know the longevity or how the life would be led. And so everyone thought at that time, this is the thing that's going to bring the champ down. And someone asked him, "Man, how do you deal with this, champ? How do you deal with having this devastating disease?" And you know what he said? He said, "Don't count the days, make the days count. Don't count the bad situations, make the bad situations count. Don't count the disappointments, make the disappointments count. Don't count the great times, make the great times count." You can put it in any context you want, because that's what strength looks like. That's what it means to have strength and purpose. So as we go forward here this morning, as we leave this place, I want you to look at your connection card. And there's a few things on here as I thought about this week and what to put in here. A couple things really kind of came to the forefront of my mind. And the first one is identifying maybe an area in your life where you need to actively participate in your own rescue. And what does that look like for you? Right? Maybe it's in finances, relationships. Maybe it's in community leadership. I don't know what that looks like for you. The second one is asking God to give you direction in what he wants you to run after to fulfill his purpose in your life. And you know what? I actively participate in my own rescue as part of this. And as I thought this morning, as I went through the first service, I thought, you know what? The one I'm going to mark down is that second one, because that resonates with me, man. Finding what it is that God's calling me to do and the thing that I need to continue to run after. You know, several years ago, I read this book by Tony Dungy. It's called Be Uncommon. And the theme throughout the book is talking about this whole concept in society of being average, right? Don't be too high on yourself. Don't be too low. Be right in the middle. And the cool thing that he says is, he says, man, that's what's wrong with us. Too often we spend too much time kind of shooting right at the middle. Find our purpose. Find that strength in our lives. Be better. Be uncommon. Shoot for everything that you can. And as we roll out of here today, and as we go and enjoy the rest of our Sunday, and as we get after it next week, there's a few things I'd love us to be able to do. Love us to be able to aspire to do great things, man, to find that strength in our purpose. Run after what it is that God wants us running after. find his purpose, ask him, pray, think about what it is that God wants me to run after. And I'm telling you, man, he's going to give you the strength to deal with all things. And as we leave here this morning, remember, there's strength in purpose. And whatever situation that we see that sits in front of us that requires our attention, I pray that we run at it and not away from it. Amen.